So after hearing this reading from Matthew, doesn't it feel like this really should be the shortest sermon ever? I should just stand here and say, don't be a goat. Amen. I mean, this text from Matthew feels simple. This is our last public teaching from Jesus in Matthew's gospel. Jesus has been wandering around the temple and outside of it, teaching to his disciples and those who are curious and those who are trying to arrest him. And these are the last words in the Gospel of Matthew that Jesus utters before the Last Supper, before his arrest, before his trial and execution. Jesus talks about the Son of Man returning in glory, returning from heaven with a huge entourage of angels to judge the world. He sits on the throne and begins to split everyone into two groups. On his right, he puts those who he'll bless and welcome into eternal life, and he calls them sheep. On his left, he puts those who will be going to someplace else, and he calls them goats. The ones on his right did good. They clothed the naked, fed the hungry, visited the sick. They saw those in prison. The ones on his left didn't. It seems that their actions determined where they stand in this great judgment. Those who did good are blessed and get eternal life. Those who didn't, don't. It seems so simple, really. Here is the list of what we need to do to be a disciple of Christ. Visit, feed, care, and love. That's all it takes. But, and there's always a but, that's not all that is shared in this story. Because our sheep and our goats do something very interesting. When they are split into two groups, and Jesus pronounces his judgment, explaining why they are where they are, both sides react the same way. They're surprised. And it's that surprise that makes this teaching not as simple as it first appears. If the goats and the sheep didn't say anything, if they were just separated and we never heard them talk back to Jesus, then yes, this teaching seems to be, do this and God will love you. But the goats and the sheep, they talk back. They question. They look at Jesus and say, wait a minute, when did we help you? Because these sheep and these goats, they had no idea they were sheep and goats. They had no idea that their actions were being seen. They had no idea that their actions would have consequences. The goats, they're questioning, I think that's easy for us to understand. We hear in Scripture and we experience in our own lives selfishness. We know when we don't give. We know when we don't care for others. We have all experienced those moments, those hesitations. When we didn't give that beggar a dollar, even though something in our heart told us to. Or we didn't pick up that phone call from a friend because we didn't want to listen to them complain one more time. Or we were just so focused on our own needs that we just couldn't see what was going on around us. The response, the questioning by the goats, that makes sense. But the sheep, that's the odd bit here. Why are they surprised too? It's their surprise that makes this a hard text, a complicated text. If they weren't surprised, then they knew that this result, this blessing to eternal life, was the way it was going to be. The sheep knew the end result, so they behaved the right way. But they didn't know. Instead, their good deeds were just a reaction to what was already inside of them. They loved and cared for those who hungered, those who were sick, those who were a stranger, not because of any reward they would get, but just because that's who they are. Their actions weren't forced. Their actions weren't effortless. Their actions were effortless. Their goodness and love was just part of their identity, their DNA, and it just came out. These sheep are, to use the language of Matthew, good trees, and they bear good fruit. Their identity, their inner core, their sense of being, that's what caused these actions of love, welcome, care, and support. And that means these words from Jesus are a lot harder than they first appear. They aren't about actions. They're about identity, who we are and what makes us tick. And questions of identity lead into very personal questions. Questions like, am I good? Do ethical things just come naturally, or are they forced? Am I trying too hard to do the right thing? Am I a sheep, or am I a goat? But before we answer those questions, we need to keep our eye focused on what comes next, on what happens when we turn the page, when we leave chapter 25 and head into chapter 26. Because it's there when we see Jesus feed his disciples at the Last Supper, sharing that holy meal with those who will betray him, those who will deny him, and those who will run from him when he's hanging on the cross. We need to keep our eyes on the one who will be stripped and mocked by the Roman soldiers, who will thirst and be fed vinegar, who will be imprisoned and no one will come to him, the one who will be nailed to the cross. He'll give up his life to reconcile the world to God. He'll model just what it means to be the ultimate sheep. This text from Matthew 25 is a hard text. It's a text that accuses as much as it enlightens. It forces us to ask questions about ourselves, about our actions, about what we have done and about what we have not done, about whether we bear the good fruit that God calls us to bear, or whether we hesitate, make mistakes, fail to live out God's love, God's call to welcome the person who we don't know and who doesn't look or sound like us, or clothe the naked, or feed the hungry, or care for the sick. This is a text that accuses. It shakes its fingers at us, it calls us to account, and it forces us to turn to what is about to come and what has come. And that's Jesus Christ. Matthew 25 isn't about what we need to do to be good Christians or faithful or whatever. Matthew 25 is about what Jesus did, about what Jesus brings, about what Jesus does, and about our need for Jesus in our life. We know we're not sheep, but through Christ, we're not goats either. So what does that mean then? Where do we go from here? Do we wait until the good just kind of happens? Until that faith mojo kicks in and we're able to just spontaneously do all the good that we're called to do? No. We're not called to wait. We're not called to hesitate. We're not called to decide when our faith is strong enough to help others. Because those who are in need are right in front of us here and now. We're not here to decide when we're enough. When we've got all we need to be strong, all we need to be faithful, all we need to feel secure in helping out those around us. No, we're not here to wait until we're enough. But instead, we're called to rest on the promise that Christ is enough. That Christ gives us strength. That Christ is with us. And that in baptism, in the Holy Spirit, God's promise is enough. We're not Christ, but that doesn't mean we can't be Christ to our friends, family, neighbors, and strangers. We're called to welcome, to invite, to share, to care, to love. Not because we're perfect, not because we're awesome, not because we'll always get it right. We're called to do all these things because Jesus promises to walk with us, to be a presence in our life, to help turn us into sheep, rather than let us remain as goats. The challenge, then, isn't to be filled with faith. The challenge is to live into God's promise that we will be given the fullness of faith, that we will be given grace, that we are given all that we need right now to live and love as Jesus did. The challenge is to be Christ-like, to notice the friend in need, to notice the stranger who needs hope, to notice those who hunger and thirst and who can't hear the gospel because they're too busy trying to find something to eat. The challenge is to see that next page, to know that after Matthew 25, that hill on Calvary comes, that the actions of God to reconcile the world through Jesus Christ happened, that they matter, and that we might not be a sheep right now. We might still make mistakes. We might still hesitate. We might not care or heal or love like Jesus did. But that doesn't mean we don't try. Not because it earns us favor with God, but because that favor has already been given to us. We're called to remember and to proclaim that the world has already been saved. And now it needs to be loved. Amen.